And this is just kind of a platform for our lesson tonight. I always try to come up with some kind of a title for it, and this probably isn't a good one, but it does, after you, maybe by the end of the service, you'll get to see where it comes from. We'll call it Upstairs, Downstairs. Maybe it'll help you to remember it at some point. Now, we're going to be talking about a man by the name of Elisha, who is a prophet of God. And this is a lengthy portion of Scripture, so if it's okay, we'll just kind of skim it and paraphrase it as we go. And I promise I won't get into heresy and false doctrine on this, but in order we can cover this, because we got some other areas and subject we need to help clarify our upstairs, downstairs theme. And so, but this is the basis of where we're going to build our foundation. We have Elisha the prophet, and he travels. He's a traveling evangelist. He just travels all over throughout the countryside. And there's this one particular place in a little community called Schumann, that there was a woman there, and that she was well off, had a woman of means, her and her husband. And at one time, Elisha had come through, and she had offered him to come in and to feed him. And so it became kind of a little, but kind of become something like a habit that every time he came through that area, he would stop and she would fix a meal for him. And so one day she was talking to her husband, and she said, "You know, honey," I'm sure she called him honey. Yeah, I said, you know, Elisha, they said, "I know this guy is a man of God, and we really need to do something nice for him." He says, "Why don't we build a room, an upstairs room, and furnish it with a bed and a table and a candlestick, and any time he comes through here, well, he can stop and stay and have a place, and any time he's in the area, well, he can do that." Now, I had a little church in Rockdale, Texas, that when we were traveling, my wife and I were traveling and evangelizing, and anytime I was in East Texas, they had a house right there in Rockdale, right next door to their church, and they gave me a key. And I could, anytime I was there, I could go there and stay, and I'd call the pastor of the church, and they'd make sure that everything was all cleaned and fixed up for us, and we'd stay there, you know, sometimes a week at a time, because we would travel through eastern Texas. And so, but it was a lot nicer than what Elisha had, you know. But based on the culture that time, why, I suppose it was a Holiday Express, you know, to him, because it had the essentials, the basics, a bed, a table, and a candlestick. And so he had done this and come several times, and his right hand man, that was a helper that tended to him and helped him in many ways. He asked him one day. He says, "You know, what does the lady need? She's been awful nice to us. Now, what could we do for her?" And he even asked her, and she said, "You know, everything's fine. We're good." He said, "I'll even, you know, put in a good word with you for the governor or the king or whatever." She said, "No," said, "we're good." And so he asked his servant, and says, "You know, what is it?" And said, "Well, her husband is old and she's barren. They have no children." And so Elijah says, "Call her and tell her to come up." That's important now. "Tell her to come up to where I'm at, in the upper room, the upstairs room." And so she comes up to where Elisha's at. And Elisha says, "You've been so good to us and so kind to us." And the Lord is going to bless you that a year from now you'll have a son. And she just laughed and she said, "Don't lie to me, Elisha." She understood her circumstances. But sure enough, a year later, she had a son. And so you know the story. The boy got a little older and he went out with his dad and he got sick and died. So what does the mother do? She says, "I'm going to go to the man of God." It's an important key there. When you come to a crisis in life, you need to know where to go. And so her husband, being the typical husband, I guess, he said, "Well, it's not Sunday. It's no holiday," because they said new moon or Sabbath. He says, "That's normally whenever you go and visit with a holy man, a man of God, a prophet, is the time of Sabbath, And she said she didn't care if she was going. Said, get me a donkey and a servant to go with me." And so she went to Elisha. And we know that Elisha found out what was wrong. He sent Gehazi's servant. He gave him his staff. He says, "Take that staff and put it on the boy." Now, if you study Elisha, you find that this was pretty standard operating procedure for him. He always desired, in his ministry as a prophet, always had the people do the things. He gave them instructions to do to test their faith. And so he said, told Gehazi to take it, the staff. And so he does. And the mother says, "That's not good enough, Elisha. I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you." And so Elisha said, "Okay." So he starts to go. So Gehazi goes, lays the staff on the boy. Nothing happens. Elisha gets there. We know that the mother has taken the boy up to the upper room, upstairs. She took her need to the upper room. She took her need to where she initially got her promise, which was in the upper room. And so Elisha comes, he goes up in the upper room, lays on the boy, and his body starts getting warm. He gets up, walks around, and does it again, and the boy wakes up, sneezes, and is healed, raised from the dead. But the key to the story here is that the Shunammite woman, she remembered where God spoke to her and gave her a promise. A promise that she definitely desired more than anything. Having a male child in this culture was one of the most important things that could happen to a couple. And so this young boy was restored to life because she knew that if she could get to the man of God and get him to the place where he first gave her God's promise to her that her boy would be spared. Now, the upper room is the key here in the whole lesson. It's because God, throughout history, has used upper rooms for special ministry and special needs to people. One particular instance, we just completed a long series of lessons in our Before Church group on the temple and the tabernacle of God. And we went to quite a bit of detail about the temple that Solomon built. But something that you didn't realize, and what really blessed me, was that, of course, he had the wall around the temple, but the temple was a separate building. And to get in to the temple, to the holy place, which was the inner court of the temple, where the candlesticks were at, where the anointing was, where they went to light the candles. It's where the showbread was at, and it's where they burnt the incense every day, morning and night. And so, but there was 12 steps up from the ground outside the temple into the holy place. But there was another chamber that was called the Holiest of Holies, or the most holy place, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was at. There was another 12 steps from the holy place to the curtain of the most holy place into where the presence of God was. 12 steps, 12 tribes, 12 disciples, 12 steps up to. So the holy place and the most holy place were elevated above ground level. So God, whenever he was in the temple of Solomon, whenever he was ministering to the people, to the priest, for the people, he was in an upper room. His holy presence was actually in a room that was elevated above ground level. Time and time again throughout Scripture, we find at least a dozen times an upper room was used for people to congregate, to meet, where God did something very special. In the book of Mark, Jesus says to the disciples, I want you to go and find this man. He has a room, and to prepare it for the Passover, or the last, as we know, as the Last Supper. It was an upper room, an upper chamber. He said it was big enough to accommodate what they were going to do. So in that upper room, we find that several things took place. The Passover Supper, the Last Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. After his resurrection, the disciples were in that room whenever he appeared to them. And also, 50 days after his ascension, or after Passover, we find that the Holy Spirit comes down into that upper room for the day of Pentecost. The upper room experience is something that every born-again believer, whether you use that term or not, you have been in that upper room. If you're born again, you have been in that upper room at some point in your life. You've been in a place in the presence of God where God has spoken to you, has ministered to you, has helped you through tough times. And that was an upper room experience because God chose that place, a special place, where his presence could minister to his people. God wants us to, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to realize that no matter what's going on in lives, in families, you know, parents, grandparents, you got children, grandchildren that are off the reservation right now. God has an upper room experience for you. God has promised you your children to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. That's an upper room experience. Take that need, take that situation back to where God gave it to you and allow Him to change circumstances. Be like the little Shunammite woman. Don't give up. Go to where you got your promise and stand upon that promise. Don't let that promise fade. Because, see, the promise of God is faithful. As I said in the prayer, it's faithful. It's yes and amen, or so be it, to the believer. God gave you a promise. You know that God has spoken to you in a certain situation. Don't let the enemy kill your promise. This little woman refused to let the enemy steal what God had given her. God has great plans for each and every one of you. Great plans. Says, beyond what we can even imagine or think, God's blessings. I encourage you tonight, if you have a situation in your life, if you have, whether it's a loved one, whether it's yourself, whether it's a relationship in your family, whatever it is, remember, God is in the upper room. He's there. He's upstairs. You need to go to Him. Go to that place. Go to that place that God first said, "Thus saith the Lord." And don't give up. Don't let your promise die. Let's pray tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. And God, no matter what circumstance, what problem, whatever's going on, no matter how long it's been going on, no matter what someone has said, what someone has done, it doesn't matter. Because we know that from your word it says nothing is too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. And God, we stand upon a promise, the promise in your word, whether it's healing for our body, whether it's a change in our personal circumstances, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship in family, whether it's children or grandchildren, whatever that is, God, we know that your word promises to overcome. We are overcomers by the Spirit of God. And God, we take that promise right now and we hold on to it. We claim it. We refuse to let it go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming.